Welcome to Church 307, Wyoming's online church. Thank you for joining us today. Please like, subscribe, and share so that other people can also get into this content, get into the conversation, and join us today. We are talking about and asking the question, how does God protect us physically, mentally, emotionally? I don't know. There's other ways that we could do it, but we're going to figure it out today. I'm not exactly sure, but some smart people today know. Grant, roll it.
Yep. Send it.
Sweet. We are here, and I am glad you're joining us. And sitting down with me are two of the most amazing people that I know.
You can't remember our names, can you?
You ought to be cautious because your wife is not at this table. Right.
Two of okay. The most. And they're going to tell you their names.
Yeah. Hey, my name is Mike. Welcome again to Church 307. I am sitting with Mitch and Karen. Karen is the women's pastor here at New Life. She leads our life group ministry and a lot of our outreach and missions ministries. We run a shop here called The Purchase Project, which is a fair trade shop in which we help support people internationally. Yep. You can talk more about that if you want to, but tell us a little bit more about what you do at New Life.
Yeah.
What do I do at New Life? Goodness. I sometimes tell people, what don't I do at New Life? Yeah. I mean, if you guys ask me, I do it. So I'm kind of the yes girl, I guess.
Yeah. Yes girl.
I do the creative things. Yeah. So that's what I like to do, and run the shop and do some ladies ministry and life groups and
retreats and all that.
Retreats, stuff. Help out here and there. Yep.
A little bit of everything. Yeah. Karen is, I would say one of, but it's not one of. She is the most creative person I've ever known in my life. Just in terms of not just like artsy stuff, although artsy stuff, but also just like ideas and thinking outside the box, and such an incredible asset to our team here. And she also has a theology mind, and she's well-read. And so she's here today to help us wrestle with a very difficult question.
A hard one.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why I was picked for this, but.
Because it's hard.
I wanted to make you have to shoulder it.
Right. Make me squirm. Okay. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
You're so welcome.
But honestly, when we have conversations largely with people who are skeptical of Christianity, it comes down to this question a lot. Mm-hmm. And online, I've been chatting with some people, and in person, I've been chatting with some people who have this question. And so we kind of felt like, let's wrestle with it together and see what scripture has to tell us about how God protects us. Because we know that there are some ways that God does protect us, but then there are other times when God chooses not to protect us.
Or maybe not protect us in the way we want protected.
He doesn't follow our instructions.
Right.
Yep.
Right?
He expects all his. Yeah. So what is God's plan for protecting us? Kind of the basic idea for today is God doesn't always protect us physically, but he does provide us with peace when we are in our physical bodies, but then he also promises to protect us eternally. Mm-hmm. So we have eternal protection and then also peace while we are in these human bodies. Mm-hmm. So John 16:33 says, I have told you all this, and we talk about this passage a lot, so that you may have peace in me. Mm-hmm. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. So the idea is while we're in this world, he gives us peace, supernatural peace, peace that passes understanding, but also he has overcome the world so that he can give us a gift that is outside of this world. Him overcoming the world, namely in his death and resurrection, gives us the gift of eternal life. So let's ask this question, the hard one that many people want to know is, why doesn't he protect us physically? Because we know that he provides me eternal protection. For people who are skeptical of faith, that doesn't help them much.
Sure.
They want to know, why doesn't he protect me physically? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think an important distinction to make, or an important thing to keep in mind, is that he does.
Yeah.
So often we look at one or two instances where we haven't been protected in a specific instance, a specific situation, and we say, well, God doesn't protect me. And we may not be aware of all the times and all the ways that he has protected us. Yeah. And I'm sure you guys can think of those too. You know, I distinctly remember driving down a highway one day And I was at one of those places where there was an on-ramp and an off-ramp very close to each other. And someone came on and slid in front of me right as the backlog going on the off-ramp stopped.
Yep.
And so they came right in front of me and then everything stopped. And I hit my brakes and I am not kidding or exaggerating when I say he was probably 6 inches from me when I hit my brakes and somehow I didn't hit him.
Yep.
And it was one of those moments where it was like, there had to have been an angel between our cars because brakes don't work that hard and that fast.
Yeah.
And I didn't hit him, you know? And so I think there's instances of that all the time that are happening and we're completely unaware of how we are being protected.
And your belief in God,
it's a very true thing.
Your belief in God kind of determines what you think happened in that moment.
Right.
If you don't believe in God in that moment, you're thinking, wow, I got lucky. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe in God in that moment, you're thinking, what a coincidence. Mm-hmm. Or you
that's crazy.
Away physical
right.
Means. If you do believe in God, then it's easy for you to say that was a supernatural event.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some events that we would call supernatural events that are, you could kind of say either way, mm-hmm. was that supernatural or not? However, throughout history, there are some verifiable supernatural events that happen in which God does provide healing. God does provide protection.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it gets tricky is you say, okay, why did he help that person and not that person? Right. And is God mean
mm-hmm.
if he heals this person and not that person? We would never say of a nurse, that nurse is evil because she helped that person.
Right.
When there are other people that she didn't help. So we're putting a strange expectation on God that we wouldn't put onto
absolutely.
Other,
on people.
Onto
right.
people.
Yeah.
But then also you have to say of God, if he is capable, a nurse isn't mm-hmm. capable of helping everybody. Sure. But if he is capable of helping everyone, he kind of has more responsibility mm-hmm. to answer the question, mm-hmm. why aren't you helping some people and you are helping right. other people? Are you afraid to die?
I am very much afraid to die.
Are you afraid to die?
My daughter and I talked about this yesterday, and we agreed that it's not death as much as dying.
It's the event.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like, it's not the result, but it's
I'm
the
not afraid of when it is done.
Yeah, yeah.
But the dying, I think because there could be pain involved, right. That's what's terrifying.
Yeah,
that's true. Know?
But
I've been strategically asking this question to a lot of people lately because we're coming up on a series we're calling Heaven and Hell. And so we're talking a lot about dying coming up. And so I'm curious, are people scared of it or not? And it's like 50-50. A lot of people, I think because I'm a pastor, they have to like mm-hmm. project this confidence and faithfulness and say, no, I'm not afraid to die because I believe in heaven. And I get all that. I think that's valuable. But then I would also say, I think everybody's afraid of at least some part of dying,
mm-hmm.
whether it's I have somebody in my life that I care about and I don't want to leave them behind.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or I'm afraid of the pain that I would experience as I'm dying. Oh. I fall off a cliff. There's going to be a lot of pain in between falling and hitting.
Here's the thing. I want it fast. I want it hard and fast if it's going to come.
Go quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want to be falling down, like run out of breath halfway and have to start screaming again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be scary the entire way down.
Maybe even, God.
I mean, I just watched my dad die. And there was a lot of unknowns in that, right? Like, we weren't sure how aware he was of his dying process. And that right. made me think a lot, too. Like, how terrible would it be to lay there and be aware, but not be able to communicate that you're aware? There's a lot of ifs in that. But
that's terrifying.
Yeah. And the thing, I think, what you said is the leaving the people behind. You know, it's the children. I think once you're a parent, it's terrifying because you're thinking of your kids, you know, you don't
you still
leave
have
your
that
kids
desire to protect them.
Without a parent.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Like, that is the part.
Yeah.
And that's where like it's probably too much pride or too much on my shoulders. Cause I think if I'm not
absolutely.
Here,
right.
then who is going to raise my kids and like, who's going to love my family? I can't do that. I don't want to miss out on those things. That is a huge part about death. That is, I think, scary.
And so the reason why I asked that question is I do think if you have a fear of snakes or spiders or heights, any of those things, it reveals a little bit of I care about my body. Mm-hmm. I care about my feelings. I care about my humanity. But
I don't want icky bugs on me, Mike.
It's just icky bugs. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And then I think also if you have a fear of dying because you're afraid of who's going to take care of my kid, both of these things reflect a little bit of a over confidence in the physical and not enough confidence in the supernatural and not enough confidence in God. If I don't trust God to take care of my kids, I need to be there to take care of them.
Sure.
And also, we value our lives in this world so much.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And ultimately, do we believe that God loves our children more than us?
Yes.
Absolutely. I believe that with all my heart.
Yep.
But also, and especially having just walked it myself, it's terrible to lose a parent. Like, there is a lot of grief, and I don't want that for my kids.
Right, I do.
So it's just, there's a lot involved in that question.
even with me here, I'm praying and depending on God to help me be a good parent.
Yeah.
I try not to do it on my own anyway.
Yeah.
Whether here or not here, I'm wanting him
to
be involved.
Yeah. I think what you just said, though, goes back to the initial question about why doesn't God protect us? Mm-hmm. And we value physical too much. We value life. We value relationship. We value our things. And so we question God when our health disappears. We question God when our things go away. We question God when relationships are rocky. And why didn't he protect me from those things?
Yep.
But it's because we, as humans, have put such great value and such great emphasis on things that are temporary.
Yep.
And we don't value enough our soul. And so that's really what it boils down to.
Not too long ago in one of my sermons, I asked people in the audience to raise their hand if you started coming to church as a result of experiencing some pain in your life. And you would be amazed how many people raise their hand and they say, I came to God because of pain. We were going through infertility, or I lost a loved one, or I was experiencing physical pain, or some sort of pain led me to wit's end, or I just couldn't handle it anymore. So I started looking for answers. And one of the places I looked for answers was church, was God. Mm-hmm. And that's when it stuck.
Uh-huh.
I realized, okay, nothing else is solving this problem. Right. They went to God, and that's where they found some relief. That's where they found some hope in the midst of their pain.
Turn to other things all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And they probably, a lot of those people tried those other things too, right? We try alcohol. We try relationships. We try meaningless sex. We go to all those other things for protection, comfort, you know, healing, whatever. But none of those things are a lasting answer. None of those things give us prolonged hope.
And many times that the rock bottom that people hit that eventually brings them to church is a result of looking to other things to numb their pain.
Sure.
Right.
They hit rock bottom because the solutions they were going after were not real solutions. They were just worsening the pain and making things worse. C.S. Lewis said, sometimes God has to put you on your back so that you'll look up. Mm-hmm. Something like that. I'm messing up the quote. But I think pain leads us to God many times in our life. Mm-hmm. However, you can also say the same thing. The opposite is true. Many people run away from God because they experience pain, because they start blaming God.
Yes.
Last week, I had a conversation with a guy who says he does not believe in God because of the pain that he's experienced in his life. And, oh man, he told me his life story, and I get it. Like, all kinds of horrible things have been done to him by people that have caused him tremendous pain in his life. And the wrestling that we did in this conversation was reflecting on, is it God's fault that those people hurt you? Those people caused you pain? Because when I look at, it's easy from an outsider's perspective to say this. Mm-hmm. When you're experiencing, it's much more difficult. From an outsider's perspective, it looks like he is blaming people, or he's blaming God for pain that people caused. Mm-hmm. And his pushback to that is, no, God could have stopped it. Because a lot of people, what they want is for God to always do the same thing. So if you're ever going to help anybody, you've got to always help everybody physically. Mm-hmm. And so what they really want is for God to just completely remove our free will. Mm-hmm. What they really want, if you drill down to that argument, is they want God to take control of everything, that every action is supernatural. So why doesn't God do that? Why doesn't God just remove our free will? Because that's what causes our pain. Sin in the world is what causes our pain.
Right.
So why doesn't God just say, I'm going to not put the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give them free will, and I'm just going to require them to do what I want them to do. Why doesn't he do that?
Get it.
If he removes choice, he removes his love. So ultimately, he gave us the choice to be in relationship with him. He gave us the choice to reject that. And, you know, the way I see the whole tree of knowledge of good and evil and what Adam and Eve did there was they wanted to be like God, right? And that's what we've all done ever since then, is we all want to be God. We all think we know best. And in our own arrogance, in our own pride, we then live in such a way that we're hurting others.
Yeah.
And trying to keep God at arm's length and say, you know what, God, I've got this. Like, I can do this. I'll live life my way, you know. And then as soon as things start tumbling down, well, why didn't God take care of me?
Yeah.
But all we've done is live our lives with our arm extended saying, I'm going to do this my own way. But
yeah,
it boils down to choice and love. And he loves us enough to give us the choice of whether or not we want to be in relationship.
Because forced love is not love. No. If I'm forcing my son to love me, he does not love me. He's right. I may be enforcing my will on him, mm-hmm. but he is not loving me.
Right.
I'm forcing it. And I think that God, in a desire to have a relationship with us, gave us free will. Who are we to question God? He's God. I would like to understand why.
Mm-hmm.
It's helpful to us. And he does give us a lot of reasoning in scripture, but there are some things where he just says, this is the way it is. And we just have to trust him because he's God and he knows what's best. But forcing love is not love. I would also say we don't believe in slavery in any other area.
Right.
Like, I know a lot of people like to say the Bible condones slavery. It doesn't. And God is not a God of slavery. He gave us free will. He gave us freedom. And when we are in Christ, we get even more freedom. So like, the progressive gift, the progressive grace that God gives us is more and more freedom, not less and less free will.
Uh-huh.
And so I would say God did not enslave us. He did not kidnap us and force us to be in relationship with him. He gave us free will. And that gift has consequences.
Yeah.
Every time I give one of my children a gift, it has consequences. Like, should I give you this gift or not? Because I'm pretty sure it's going to make you more spoiled than you already are. Mm. Should I give you this drum or not? Because I'm going to have to suffer the consequences. Right? You play this drum all the time.
Come on.
Yep.
Every gift comes with consequences, and a wise parent is determining, are the consequences of this gift better than the alternative?
Right.
And the obvious consequence, the consequence that we're all going for when we give a gift, is to show love.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would be wise in receiving the gift of free will from God to say, thank you. I recognize you're doing this because you love me. I will accept the consequences in the meantime, but then also recognize that he is God and surrender to his will.
Right, right. And the presence of evil does not mean the absence of God.
Right.
And we have to look at the alternate, you know, like living without God. Living in a world of sin, living in a world of hurt without God.
Yeah.
Versus living in a world where there is sin and hurt with God.
Yeah.
Entirely different frame of mind, entirely different way of living, entirely different outcome. You know, like
yep.
personal, the last 6 months of my life, right? My husband is life flighted. Nearly dies because of heart complications. My dad is life flighted, does die. I just got a diagnosis in the last week that is going to cripple me over time and potentially end up in blindness. I mean, so many things. And you take any one of those and you do that without God in your life.
Hmm.
So I would like crawl in a hole and die.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But you're able to stand. You're able to move forward.
Right.
because you believe that this physical life and the physical reality that you're experiencing is not the only answer.
So temporary. And on Sunday, you know, you use the illustration of the umbrella on Sunday, right? And an umbrella doesn't mean that the storm isn't going to happen, but it protects us in the storm.
Yeah.
And God is the same for us, right? The storm is going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the verse that you read to us either. Here on earth, you will have trials and sorrows. I mean, it is promised
yep.
to us. You're going to have hard times. You're going to have tough days.
Yeah.
But God is going to be there with us
yeah.
in that.
Say what you were saying about the valley of the shadow of death.
Yeah. So Psalm 23, verse 4 says, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me." And I was reading this the other night, and the dark valley, of course, has new meaning when you're facing a diagnosis that could mean blindness.
Yeah.
And so I'm literally thinking darkness, you know, but it says, "Even when I walk through the dark valley, I won't be afraid because you're close beside me, your rod and your staff protect and comfort me." And so I was looking at that protect and I thought, that's weird. We want protection from the dark valley.
Yeah.
And it doesn't say we will be protected from the dark valley.
Yeah.
We will walk through dark valleys. We will have hard times. We're going to face difficult diagnoses. We're going to face people dying that we love. We're going to face breakdown of relationship, all of it.
Right.
It's going to happen in this world. But it says when it happens,
yeah.
then we will still be protected. And again, we have to realize we value our physical lives too much. And so we want our physical life to be protected.
Yeah. Right.
That's what I want. I want God to protect me from these diagnoses. I don't want them. I'll be honest. Like, they are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to think about what my future is going to be. God doesn't say, "I'm going to protect you from the rain, Karen. I'm going to protect you from the valley, Karen." But it says he's going to be close beside me.
Yeah.
And these things will not ultimately result in my demise because nothing can touch my soul.
Yep.
Nothing can touch my soul.
He won't remove you from the rain, but he will protect you in the rain.
Right.
And he will allow you to stand in. I think that's the good news of, yes, God gave us free will and the consequences that come with us, but he didn't then just leave us.
Right.
He walks with us in the valley. He walks with us in the storm.
Mm-hmm.
So John 10 says, "I give them eternal life." So that's what we're talking about. That's the where we should put our value. "And they will never perish. No one can snatch them from me. For my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else." Good luck to the Satan. "No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." I can stand in the storm because the faith that he gives me, the peace that he gives me, is an umbrella over me that allows me to not be embarrassed when my white shirt gets wet in the rain.
Right.
He protects me.
Yep. Right.
Paul says to the Ephesians, "When you believed, when you were adopted into God's family, when you had faith in God, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." So I'd like to talk now about this idea of being sealed as a part of the gift that God gives us when we are adopted into his family, and what it looks like to go through life experiencing pain as sealed people. So back in the Middle Ages, they did not have self-sealing envelopes. They didn't have the envelopes that had the glue already on it, or peel and stick, or...
Right. The technology.
I was going to say scratch and snip.
Stickers. Those are
they
stickers.
Should.
I mean, you could put a scratch and sniff sticker as a seal on an envelope.
Yes.
We could do that.
They did not have those in the Middle Ages, though.
No.
So they could not. In the Middle Ages, if they wanted to send an envelope, if they were wealthy, what they would do is they'd take a piece of wax or a dot of wax and they'd put it on the envelope and then they'd stamp it. And that seal that would then close the envelope served two purposes: identity and protection. So the identity piece of it is their stamp would be different. It would be unique. And some stamps had a symbol on them. Some had a letter on them. So when you received that mail, you could just look at the seal and know, okay, I know who this came from because I recognize that seal.
Mm-hmm.
we do the same thing when we get letters today. If I get a
return address.
Yep. Return address. Or if I get a letter from a car warranty company.
You know it's wrong.
That letter is trash.
Yep. Heard that.
But
there's something wrong with your car, Mike.
That's what they say. So far, it's running fine. So, actually, no, it's not. But if I get a letter that's got a seal of somebody I care about, of somebody I love, mm-hmm. now this letter has value. Mm-hmm. And I treat it differently. And I am going to look forward to what it says. If the seal is the seal of the President of the United States, now the letter has value. Mm-hmm. Unless you don't like the President of the United States.
Right.
But he's got power one way or the other.
President.
He still can.
There's value. You might just not value it as much.
Yeah. Whatever that letter says is important.
Right.
The letter is from the President of the United States. And so the identity of the letter is important. Mm-hmm. But the seal itself does not give the value. What the seal is showing us is the creator of the letter mm-hmm. gives the letter value. And if we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, then our Creator gives us value. Mm-hmm. And so I think the identity piece is, so often we think, if I act correctly, if I behave correctly, then I will have value. Mm-hmm. What we believe is that we behave correctly because we were given value. Right. We do what we were commanded to do because we were given that value, and that's who we are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Karen was talking about identity mm-hmm. really was before we started this that I think it'd be worth sharing with everyone. The purpose, yeah. the identity, why it's so important, or the struggle that our current culture has right. with where we do.
Right, right. So we're talking about protection. So what does identity protect us from? Yep. You know, that's a strange thing to think that identity gives us protection, but, you know, the seal protects also, right? And I think if we have an identity in Christ, if we know who we are, if we have been marked by the seal, if the Holy Spirit is evident in our lives and we go into this world knowing this is who I am,
yep.
I am God's, I am part of this big family, and there are tremendous benefits
yep.
in being a part of this family. Like, I know who my daddy is and he's got my back, you know? So if I go into the world knowing who I am, and I especially think this is true of our young people today,
yep.
you know, I've got young adults and teens in my house, and I see their peers who are going into this world without a sense of identity. Mm-hmm. My teens have a sense of identity, and it protects them from the onslaught that the world is bringing against them and telling them, who are you? You get to define who you are. You can be whoever you want to be. And if you want to be one thing today and another thing tomorrow, that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. And our world is just propagandaing
yeah.
yep.
the tar out of us right now, right? I mean, they are telling you, be who you want to be. But my kids know who they are, and they know whose they are.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they are protected from that. And they hear those messages that come at them from our society. Right. And they say, no. That's not what I believe. That is not who I am. And that's not true.
Yep.
That's not true. I don't get to decide who I am. God has told me who I am.
Yep.
And so I think there's a great value and great protection in having identity in Christ.
As people who have been right. entrusted with the protection of our children, we do not say, go out and discover yourself, the Disney message. Mm-hmm. What we say is, here is your identity. Let me tell you about your heritage. Let me tell you about the gift that you have received from God. Let me tell you about who we are as a family. And we hand them their identity. We tell them their identity. And what giving them an identity does is it builds a firm foundation mm-hmm. that they can build their life on mm-hmm. rather than this... there's no truth, your truth, my truth, wishy-washy, go discover who you are. There's no foundation there. That is mm-hmm. a life built on sand. There is no structure, and it will eventually collapse. Without that seal, without that identity, there's a reason why this identity crisis is happening at the same time as the rise of depression.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because we have no firm foundation to stand on, and we just crumble in depression and anxiety and fear. And if we have not begun with this is who I am,
right.
then any attack the world brings.
And we have an entire generation that is being brought up in right. this way.
Very much so. Yep.
And it's because our generations are afraid to speak truth
yep.
and speak with conviction. And because of the whole tolerance movement, we now have to tolerate everyone's everything and everyone's truth. And we are not allowed to or supposed to, or we're going to be canceled if we speak truth or if yep. we speak any conviction to our kids. And now we have this whole generation of kids that don't know who they are. They don't know whose they are. And they're going out there and they are floundering and they're failing. And you're absolutely right. They are depressed and they're anxious.
Yep.
Right. And it's because they don't know who they are.
Yep. A firm identity leads to security. We need a firm identity in this life so that we can operate out of security. Mm-hmm. We can operate confidently. I'm not wondering what my purpose is. I know what my purpose is because my creator gave it to me. Mm-hmm. And so there is a discovery process that happens as we discover who God is. We mm-hmm. discover the truth of scripture, but it's not unknowable. Your identity is knowable. And it's not a guess. It's not a decision. It's not a choice. It's not, I'm going to pick and choose from this worldview and this worldview. It is search for the truth that God established and he revealed it in scripture. It's knowable. And so seek after him. We use the illustration of the pop can. Mm-hmm. And so a pop can that, or Coke, soda.
Soda.
It's a soda can.
What do you call it?
Pop.
Pop. We're Northerners now. Down south, we called it Coke.
Everything was Coke?
Mm-hmm. And on the East Coast, it's soda.
Okay.
I think we just say pop can.
Everything
it's
was a pop Coke.
Here.
Yeah.
My Coke of choice was Diet Dr. Pepper.
That makes sense.
Down south.
In the south, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like Kleenex.
Tissues.
Tissues. Mm-hmm. Kleenex.
Mm-hmm.
Kleenex is a brand, but we called mm-hmm. all tissues Kleenex. It's just south. If you're watching from the south, I'm sorry.
So if you have an empty Coke can.
Sorry. Yeah, I got it. So a Coke can, if it is sealed, can contain the contents. Mm. And we believe that God placed within all of us his image. We are his image bearers. Mm-hmm. And when he seals us, then we can hold within us that image that he gave us. However, when the seal of a pop can is broken, now whatever the contents are leak out.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning, an unsealed pop can and a sealed pop can, they look the same, right? They both are vessels, but their ability to serve a purpose changes dramatically as soon as the seal is broken. And it's not just their ability to be filled with this content. It's also their structure mm-hmm. becomes compromised.
Mm-hmm.
If you stomp on a pop can that the seal has been broken, it'll crumble, it'll crush, it has no strength. Because the true strength of the pop can is not the aluminum. It's not the can itself. The true strength of a pop can is when it is sealed and filled.
Mm-hmm.
When we are sealed, it is so hard to say sealed and filled.
You're
sealed
saying
and
a really filled. Statement right there. Sentence.
When we are sealed and filled,
nice.
We are, thank you. Then we have strength in us that is not our own strength. I am not strong because my body is strong. I am strong because I am filled with the Spirit of God. God has placed his Spirit in me, and that is the gift that we receive when we become children of God.
Mm-hmm.
We become people that are impervious to the attacks of this world, to the attacks of the enemy, because God's strength is in us, and we are sealed by his Spirit. And so I think so often in our lives, we try so hard to rely on ourselves and you're good enough and you're strong enough. But the truth is when we face hard times, we start looking at, we're just like, no, I'm not strong enough. I can't do it. I can't survive. This is why the rise in suicide, the rise in depression is because we look at ourselves and realize I'm not enough.
Right.
And so I need something more than me. And that's the promise that we are given of being sealed and filled.
Right. Another thing that you said, Karen, before this was with the free will part. Would you rather, like we were talking about the difference between would you rather be free will or be robots? And we choose rather have free will. And that means that there's going to be variables and there's going to be dangers, and there's going to, whatever, there's going to be dark valleys. Yeah. But the beautiful thing is how easy it is. Like you were saying earlier, how easy it is to get this identity. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't that God said, I'm going to give them free will
right.
and just let them be to their own volition then right. and be separate from them. It was, I'm going to give them free will and they can, and I will be with them.
Yeah. I've got a plan.
Right.
And you've got to redeem it. I'm going to redeem it and I'm going to use it. And I think as believers, and I understand that it's something that if you don't know Jesus, this makes zero sense to you.
Yeah.
Right. But as a believer, we know that there is beauty in the pain.
Yeah.
And
you know, in the moment.
What's that? Maybe not in the moment. Maybe not in the moment. Right. But there is, you know, there is beauty in the pain. And I just, okay, my dad died, right? Beauty in the pain. First of all, I have comfort and peace because I know where my dad is. I know where my dad is. And so immediately there is peace in my heart, even though I just lost my dad, I have peace. Then you see this community around you. And I think that's the other beautiful thing about, you know, the identity is part of being part of this family, that I have this huge family in this church that then just wraps their arms around me and takes care of my family
yeah.
in this time, you know? And so there are just things about going through hard times that are so much easier when you have that.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
But God provided more than that. He redeems that pain. And so often, how many times in our lives have we gone through a hard time and immediately after we walk through it, somebody else comes through it.
Yep.
And God redeems it in that he allows us to comfort someone else. That's 2 Corinthians, right? Like he comforts us in our trial mm-hmm. so that we can be a comforter to someone else. And it doesn't make it easier that to go through it, but it does.
Yeah.
You know, like if I know like, okay, I just lost my dad, but there's going to be somebody else who's coming through this. It kind of does make it easier because I know he's going to redeem this. He's going to use this in someone else's life. I'm going to be able to bless someone else and walk with them.
I think our world has, they so hate the idea of faith. Mm-hmm. They don't want to believe in a God that they can't touch and feel and see. So as a result, they turn their back on him, but they're not just turning their back on him. They're turning their back on so much strength and hope and positivity and peace and joy mm-hmm. that the body of Christ can give to them. And so they're not just missing out on eternity. They're also missing out on so many good gifts that God can give us in this world. And so our invitation to faith is not just an invitation to just follow blindly. It's like, mm-hmm. first of all, you should know this is better for you. Like statistically, you will have a better life if you join the body of Christ. But then also, if you will put your faith in God, it will pay off eternally as well. So I'd like to, before we end, I'd like to bring up one more passage. John 6:39 says, and this is the will of God that I, this is Jesus talking, I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but that I should raise them up at the last day. The but there, I should not lose even one. We hope that in that statement, he is saying in our flesh, we hope that he's saying he'll protect our physical bodies. He'll keep us from ever experiencing pain. No, the but does not turn around and talk about physical pain. The but turns around and says, I should raise them up at the last day. This is a different phrase. Throughout scripture, we say the last days. Mm. We see the last days. That's talking about all days since the life of Christ. This says the last day, the end of time, when this world as we know it comes to a conclusion. So that's what Jesus points forward to. He's like, in this world, you're going to experience pain, but you should know that in the last days, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, resurrection is available to you. This is what's going to happen when you die. You're going to die. Your physical body is going to die. Your soul is going to separate from your physical body, and you will be judged. At the last day, there will be a judgment, and some will be found guilty. And those are people who die apart from Christ, and some will be found righteous. And those who are found righteous will only be those that when they are judged, it is not their own works that is being judged. It is the works of Jesus Christ, who was perfect and died and rose again so that you could be judged based on his righteousness, not based on your own. And that gift that is given to us is not a gift of just, okay, I can make it through today. That gift is an eternal hope of even if I don't have answers to all these questions, even if I don't have relief from all the pain, I believe that my eternity is found in Christ and I will spend eternity with him in heaven. And there is hope. So the peace that we're given is not just supernatural peace. Like, I can't explain why I'm okay. We get that supernatural, I feel okay even though I shouldn't. But there's also I can be okay because I know this isn't all there is. Mm-hmm. I have hope because there's something better coming. And I am so tired of standing up at funerals and saying, well, he's in a better place. Mm-hmm. Or just this kind of hope and and we just kind of argue it away and don't think about it. Everybody who is agnostic towards Christianity or faith in general, it's just an ignorant way to live your life. You can't just hope. You have to hope in something. You can't just go through life expecting that things will work itself out. You have to have an answer in this world. You can't put it off. And when you do, it won't just mean you get to go to heaven when you die. When you do, in this world, you will experience peace that you're not experiencing now. You'll experience hope that nothing else in this world can. Because when you turn your back on God and build your house on a foundation of sand, of wishy-washy, there's no truth, and just be whoever you want to be, it just leads to pain. Turn to God and allow him to give you the peace that only he can give you.
Josh.
Yeah. Ultimately, the most valuable thing we have is our soul. And that's what you're talking about. And if we're talking about protection, God will protect our souls. And everything else that we have is temporary.
Yep.
And it's going to end someday.
Yep.
But your soul is what lasts forever. And so when we're talking protection, mm-hmm. that's the ultimate protection. The thing that lasts for eternity is what is 100% protected.
What we really want, if we could see everything, what we would really want is for our soul to be protected.
Absolutely.
And that's what he promises
Absolutely.
For us.
We just have to have a different perspective.
Yep. And when we don't, we trust him. Like, yep. I don't get it all. I don't understand it all. So I'll trust you. Yeah. Good. Anybody commenting? Did Paul put an awesome comment on there?
Yeah, Paul's killing it, of course. But some people are just commenting about, like this Lindsay Austin. The hope,
sketchy things about right? her.
So, yeah, the hope that God is still there definitely got me through a very dark part of my life. Mm-hmm. He's always with us. Even when we can't feel it, he never leaves us. There is that promise, that comfort, that the thing that is eternal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is protected.
Yeah. Yeah. We went through a season before we moved here where it felt like everything was taken. Mm. You know, Paul's job and much of our identity, all of our things were packed in a garage. You know, like I went through a season where I felt like, God, you just took everything we have and it's all gone. But in those moments, for those of us who believe, and that's what Lindsay's saying, is well with my soul. And I bought a sign at Hobby Lobby and it's in my house to this day. It is well with my soul. And sometimes we just need to remind ourselves, this world may come at us. It's going to come at us hard, yep. but it is well with my soul. It cannot touch me.
Yep. Good.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, Karen.
Absolutely.
That was amazing, fun, insightful for me. Guys, I learned a lot.
Very good. I needed it.
Gosh, I need it bad. Guys, thank you for joining us. Really. We're glad that you joined us. For sure, please like, subscribe, and share this video. Once again, if you like it, if this is helpful for you, then this can be helpful to someone else. And we would love to get the word out that Church 07 is here to be the church online. If you didn't like it, totally cool. Hit the thumbs down twice. We appreciate that. And then I think with that, Mike.
As you go, know Jesus loves you unconditionally, and he died to give you new life.